Welcome to ChiroFeast, where we are serving up big helpings of wisdom in the successful practice of chiropractic, the world of entrepreneurialism, and extra servings of mentorship to navigate this wonderful experience we call life. My name is Dr. Jeff Danielson. I've built, bought, and sold many chiropractic practices and currently own 19 limited liability corporations. I love the entrepreneurial spirit, and I pay it forward through a company called Big Fish Enterprises. I coach and mentor business owners so they don't repeat the mistakes that I made in my career. Every week, we cover a topic that will help make you a better leader and a better entrepreneur. Or maybe it's just going to be a topic that helps you become a better person. You'll want to share these episodes because in life, it is always better to pay it forward. And now, let's get into today's topic.
Come and get it, everybody. ChiroFeast is online and we are ready to serve a wonderful, wonderful guest. With me today to serve up some great nuggets. I always call them nuggets because anytime I listen to something, I want to pull a little bit of a nugget out of what is being shared. And welcome to ChiroFeast, Jessica Jones.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here. Really appreciate it.
We're going to have a great conversation. We've got a lot in common. We've got a lot of interests. You're so entrepreneurial. And I've read your bios and some of your history and things like that. So I love having conversations with people that are passionate about entrepreneurialism. You're also real passionate about health and wellness, and you're in that space. So I guess, for those of you that are listening, here's where we're going to go today. We're going to talk about the it factor because Jessica has helped so many doctors kind of establish their it, establish their passion, and then run their business based on that and get some of the things out of the way. So we're going to talk about the it factor. We're also going to talk about alternative revenue streams because that's kind of a passion of yours, is identifying those. And sometimes it means getting rid of some things in your practice to make room for things that are going to help you better. So these are the things that we're going to talk about today. But before we get there, Jessica, the folks that are listening here have to know why we should listen to you. Who are you? Where did you come from? So if you can give us a little bit of a backstory on who you are and where you came from, that'd be awesome.
Yep, I will keep it brief. I won't start way back. But ultimately, I started out, I had a very successful corporate career centered around training and developing people and their skill set. And in 2008, that corporate entity went Chapter 7. And I live in Philadelphia, so I was working a lot with pharmaceutical companies to fill their clinical studies. And when you're doing that, even though the pharmaceutical company is employing you, you're working one-on-one with each study site. And so I got to work a lot with these individual practices and help them. You know, I was hired to bring the patients to the practice, but I was always taking it a step further and really getting to know what the hurdles were that were preventing people from enrolling these people into the study. And basically just from doing that process, which was natural to me, doctors started referring me to doctors. And I started getting a reputation for helping practices overcome challenges so that they could grow their business. And part of that is adding cash revenue streams. And I helped a lot of practices grow from struggling to multiple locations. And then in 2012, one of the practices was starting something new and said, hey, why don't you partner with me? You've got the business side, I've got the medical side. And I ended up building a chain of 15 medical clinics with him, and it was great. And then we sold those clinics. And I then started 6 of my own. And in 2016, I said, what am I doing? I never got into this to be an owner. I want to help people do this. And yeah. So sold all of those practices, still work with those owners that bought them today. Wow. Sold the last one in 2017, and I've been just helping people ever since.
And that has also, so those were by and large, over 20 medical clinics, but mm-hmm. you also work with chiropractors.
Absolutely. So I love working with chiropractors and helping them to, get be passionate about what they're waking up and doing every day and attracting the patients that they want, adding the revenue streams that are going to benefit them. And
you're a consumer of chiropractic services. You were talking to me about you and your family receiving chiropractic care. What's the history there?
First of all, I've been a fan of chiropractic for a long time. And, you know, my cousin's a chiropractor locally, but not close enough to me. I no longer see him, but he treated me, you know, when I lived in the city, he treated me through both of my pregnancies and everything else. But now I have a chiropractor very close to me. He's a cash-based practice nearby, Dr. Bo Casey. I love him. And my whole family loves going to him. I'm a firm believer there's so many benefits. Like I said, my older son had a concussion. The first thing I did was reach out to see, you know, what chiropractor in the area had expertise with it.
So you and your entire family utilize chiropractic care. And I think you were saying earlier that you go as much as twice a week.
I go at least twice a week. Sometimes I go three times a week.
So, I mean, you are like a major believer and you pay cash.
1000%. Yes, I pay cash.
So, you know, you've got a ton of business stuff to share with us, but yeah, we're going to go here first because
I'm happy to.
So you and your family are what most chiropractors want.
Yes.
Is who we want. And to be honest with you, it sounds like your family is like the avatar of what I've built my practice around. Okay. Helping entire families stay well and live their life well. And so, and you know, 60% of my practice is cash. And so we've had that part of our practice forever. So now I'm basically interviewing a patient that is like the people that I serve. Yes. And so I will ask you, what is it that attracts you and convinces you that you need to, number one, write a check or have a credit card automatically debited every single month, ongoing, mm-hmm, for you, and have your entire family doing the same thing as well? What has convinced you to do that?
So, you know, again, for me, I've been treated by a chiropractor since my early 20s. I had a car accident, sought help for a neck injury, and haven't looked back since. And what keeps me going and what makes me take my family, it's so funny. My husband was a professional skateboarder in the 70s. And so, you know, I'm looking at his mobility and things, and, you know, we've been together more than 30 years. And I said to him, you need chiropractic care. And so he started going with me, and it became a believer. And for my kids, again, I've introduced them to chiropractic, and they're kind of funny, you know, but once they went and the chiropractor was able to build that trust with them,
yes,
and that confidence in them, they love it. They're very different kids. My older son goes, he's like, now I just know I need my back fixed and cracked. And, you know, the Dr. Casey like cracks his back and says, "Ooh, I felt that. That was good. You feel good," you know. And my younger son, very different. He lies down and he's kind of like giggling the whole time. He's like giggling and just... But then he'll say to me, so now he says to me, it used to be I was just taking him. Now he says to me, I need to go see Bo, you know. It's really, awesome. Which is delightful for me, that he gets it and he sees the benefits. But it really does, you know, you can immediately see with my younger one, he's got ADHD, and you can immediately see he calms down, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You can articulate it. I can't. I don't know what it is about the nervous system after an adjustment, but he just goes from moving around like a jittery kid to just like, just calm and just lying there giggling, you know?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you said the magic word. So I'm going to take this opportunity to give a little plug for a recent podcast that I did called The Trustometer Explained. Mm-hmm. And in that podcast, it's just me. I didn't interview anybody. I explained that with all business decisions, with all decisions that we make them based on the trust of the individual and the company that we are potentially purchasing from. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so how do you fill the trustometer? How do you fill that sucker? And all the things that go into filling that trustometer to be able to gain that trust that you have in your chiropractor. So if you haven't listened to that podcast episode, I would encourage any of you to go back and listen to that. I think it's honestly, it's probably one of the most important podcast episodes out of, I don't know, 170 of these that I've done. It's probably the most important one I've ever done. So
I want to jump onto that, if I may, because that's something I talk about with everybody. You have to build rapport, yes, no matter what your treatment area. People need to know who you are. They need to like you and they need to trust you and have confidence that you're the right person to get them where they want to be in their health journey. Yeah. It's so important. And part of that, if I can just add on to that, you know, if I mentioned to you about the kids, when you're trying to get a family in and you're trying to treat a young person or a teenager, you look them in the eye. Mom can be in the room, but you treat them and you build rapport with them, or they are not going to keep coming back. You're not going to get that. Like my son say, I want to go see Bo. That's because Bo looks him in the eye and cares for him.
Yeah.
You know? And I think a lot of people miss the mark there. And I hope they don't, but I just wanted to add that.
No, 100%. You're exactly right. I mean, each person, we build a relationship as a chiropractor. We build a relationship with each person we touch. And it's different, you know, between the mom and the dad and the kids. And I have so much fun high-fiving and tickling kids and just having that relationship because it builds in their head, in that child's head and in their soul. It builds something that is meaningful that lasts a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So it's not just it's you as a chiropractor doing the adjustment for that person, but for the future of their life, they're going to trust chiropractic over injections and surgery and drugs and stuff like that, that could damage them or kill them. You might be saving their life by building a relationship and rapport with that child. And then just the fact that the parents get to watch you build that relationship is so cool too, because they see how much that means to you as a practitioner.
And it is meaningful, you know, in any area of practice, you know, if somebody has a bad experience, it stays with them. And so, you know, kind of breaking through those barriers is important as well. And trying to, you know, make sure that you're asking the questions and really understanding where somebody's coming from so that you can know how to move forward to build a rapport and trust factor.
So this is a perfect segue because we're talking about kind of how do you put your thumb on building rapport? How do you, you know, is there a book written about this? Yeah, but what are the secrets of building this rapport and trust? And I think that's kind of what we said we were going to talk about, which is the it factor. What is this it factor? Can you put some light on the doctors that maybe you've seen become super successful? What is that it that, you know, really sets them apart?
Sure. I mean, it and the it factor, I would say, would probably be different for every physician. But I would say where it starts, you know, we talked about how in some cases people are coming to me to grow. And when I look at their practice under the hood, I say, okay, well, to grow, we're going to have to scale back. And what that means is getting rid of some of the things they've added to their practice. Why? Oftentimes, you know, these people come in, they sell you a bunch of stuff. They say, this is great. And 3 patients a month, it'll pay it off. Right.
Right.
And we fall prey to that, or I've seen a lot of people who have, but they're adding things because they're sold on what it can bring to their practice, but they never get passionate about it. Right. I've also seen people buy a device and literally they do one treatment, they don't believe in it. It's on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or eBay or device sales site because, but the key there is that is a practitioner who understands, if I don't believe in this, I can't sell it and I can't treat my patients with it. But too many people hang on to it and cling to, I don't know how to get out of it now. I need to make it work. And yeah. It's just like digging a hole.
Yes.
And also, you know, maybe you are passionate, for example, about helping people remove their tattoos, and you buy a device because someone came in to sell it to you, but you didn't do the research and say, this device is actually going to give me a lot of bad reviews and a lot of bad patient experience because it's not a caliber of laser that's actually going to do what I want it to do well, right?
Okay, yeah.
I'm kind of going all over, but
yeah, I see
the realities.
I see the theme of passion, you know, in that. And I think, you know, I'm sure you have consultations with your clients about, you know, what is it are you passionate about? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's where you need to focus your energy. Not that you can't, and we're going to get to this, okay? We're going to get to the different additional revenue streams, okay? You can believe in something and really want to provide a service, but that doesn't mean you should be providing it, you know? You should have somebody in your organization that is providing it, and that person had better be passionate about it.
Absolutely.
Because if they're not, then your passion can't drive that person's passion to then sell that service at your clinic. Mm-hmm. How do you guide people through this process of really determining where their focus should be, where their passion, how to build around that, and then how to add to it?
Right. So, you know, it depends on where I'm coming into the process with somebody. If somebody is coming to me because they are burned out and they're starting to look at building their own practice, it's, you know, part of the initial conversation. But when somebody's coming to me and they're bogged down by all these devices and they're worn out, I mean, I've actually recently had a chiropractor say, I'm thinking of just giving it all up and becoming a real estate agent.
Oh, I said,
oh, no. He said, the world needs chiropractors. We just need you to refine your passion, right? And part of that was offloading a bunch of devices and things that were killing her passion, right? And getting her back to it. But, you know, you obviously are passionate about wellness and a holistic, you know, journey for people, right? What else is your passion? Don't add things based on just revenue. You can, when you bring things that you're passionate about that will help people in their wellness journey, it will become a positive revenue stream because you don't have to sell it. You will exude the benefits and people will pick that up from you and get into, wow, I can really feel like this is going to help me, right?
Yeah.
People will pay for what they want and what they feel will help them, what they believe will help them.
Yes. And they will pay cash.
Yes, they will.
So,
I think people, you know, as much as physicians and everybody wants to get out of insurance, I mean, insurance is a nightmare and it runs our healthcare system.
Yeah.
You know, our healthcare system is now officially the third leading cause of death in our country. I mean, that's official. Look it up. Just as the medical world is frustrated by it, the patient world is also frustrated. They want wellness. They want to take care of themselves. They want FaceTime with somebody who will guide them through their wellness journey. And they want to feel like they're cared for.
Yeah.
And they're willing to pay for that.
So we've been talking about passion and discovering that, rediscovering that. But there's also passion killers. Okay. Mm. You touched on, and we'll come back to it, I think, touched on, you know, overwhelm with, you know, the different services and machines and things that you offer and whatnot. But let's stay here for a moment about the passion killer of insurance, because I've been practicing for almost 30 years and I see it just killing doctors. It's so frustrating. I would say 80% of the problems that a chiropractor deals with are insurance-based problems, denials, having to document and prove that these things are necessary and you should pay in full and for all, you know, the different services and the therapies and the treatment that you're providing. It's onerous, you know, just working within that system.
Yes. But fighting the uphill battle for the reimbursement, and then also getting reimbursed and saying, oh my God, I should have just asked the patient. I probably would have made more money if I had just asked the patient what they'd be willing to pay.
So many doctors, though, they're used to all that money coming in and thinking that that money can't come in without the insurance company. So how do you convince a doctor that, look, it's not the insurance paying it that is, you know, the secret to you getting reimbursed? People will pay it out of their pocket. How do you get over that hump with a doctor? Because we're so stuck in thinking that we have to be in network in order to be a part of that.
So I will say, you know, obviously most of the people who reach out to me are already thinking, I want to figure this out. And they're already over that hurdle. The bigger hurdle I have is it's ingrained into you not to ask for money. And there's kind of like a money mindset. There's a lot of money mindset conversation. The other thing that comes to play, you know, I also certainly help people integrate cash pay treatments into an insurance-based practice. And you know, I actually have somebody right now who's looking and saying, oh my gosh, I might make this or that or the other thing. I don't know what's coming in with insurance. I've got write-offs because of it not getting billed properly or having the wrong codes. I mean, there's so much minutia that's overwhelming and frustrating, and finding the right billing and the credentialing and which insurance companies pay more, which insurance companies pay less. The biggest hurdle I see the doctors have is they're willing to give up credentialing, but they fear giving up if they're on the Medicare panel, they're afraid to give that up. Cause once you give that up, you can't get back on it for 7 years. And they think, what if I need to go back? And I just say, you've got to manifest what you want to build. And you can't think, what if this doesn't work and I need to go back? You know, right. what we believe we will make happen, the mind is extremely powerful. So if we believe it's not going to work, you're already setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
You've got to set your path, set your goals, write down the, you know, one of the things we do is goal setting. And I don't say set your goal. I say set your goal. Okay, great. Now, what are the five things you need to do this month to achieve that goal? And then under each of those five things, at least three things you need to do that thing, because that's really how you hit a goal. It's not just setting the goal and then thinking, oh, I've set the goal. Right. It's then building the plan for what you need to do to hit that goal. It's kind of like saying, I want to live to 100 and then just sitting back, I've set the goal. Right. Okay. If I want to live to 100, what do I need to do? I need to focus on my nutrition. I need to exercise every day. I need my heart to be healthy. I need my body to be lean, you know, and not overweight, because weight or cancer or heart disease are going to be big problems if I don't. You see where I'm going.
Yeah.
You manifest it.
You want to build a house. You got to organize all the people that are going to build it. You need the plumber, the electrician, the carpenter, the cement layer. I mean, you need all these different pieces. You can't just say, I'm going to build a house. You know, so if you want to live to 100, you got to put the things in place that are going to allow you to do that.
Yeah. And if you want to build a successful business and have it cash based, you have to build the plan, start figuring out what am I going to charge people, and start believing I'm worth way more than this, let alone this. Like, the people that I treat are going to get so much value out of coming to see me. They're just going to keep on coming and keep bringing more people.
What's a common thing that, so after you've been working with, say you're working with a medical doctor or a chiropractor, mm-hmm. and they made that decision, they don't want to deal with the insurance, they want to go cash, and fast forward a year and a half mm-hmm. later, What's the thing that you hear from them that they were most surprised about in the process? What do they say to you like a year and a half later after they stress out about making that decision?
Yeah. So most surprised about, I think that every journey is different. I think most surprised about is that I'm trying to think of the most surprised about. Every journey is different, but I think a common theme would be not realize. So here's some things. It's the importance of, it's not just you. So I'm going to get into something here a little bit. I know we love our front office staff, but a lot of times we find that a challenge in your business is really, you know, you can exude all the passion you want, but everybody in your practice has to be on the same page and instilling that same level of love and comfort with every single patient that you touch. Because if the person answering the phone isn't building that warm rapport, that patient's never going to get the opportunity to come and see how awesome you are, right? So these are some of the big conversations, and that's some of the big ahas is, wow, I had no idea how much that was hindering me from doing. I thought it was me. I thought it was what I was doing. And it really was a systems issue within the practice. So that's a couple, that's, you know, one of the things. And another thing is, you know, I hate to say it, but a lot of it is also the scaling back. Everybody thinks you need to add and add and add. Another big aha is, wow, I feel so much better. My practice is simplified and I'm making more money. Why? Well, you're speaking of staff, when you've got 20 things you're selling, the staff is kind of paralyzed, right? It's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do or say to this person, right? And it's not for them to do, but really, like you say, I'm adding this. And then you expect the staff to start discussing it with people. And it's just kind of like, what? Like a deer in the headlights. I don't know what to do with this. And right. So it's, you know, that's another one of the big things. Like I had no idea how much adding was subtracting from my business.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up too, because I've seen this in my own practice. I've seen this in practices that I coach as well, that sometimes the owner has the capacity or the bandwidth to be able to recommend chiropractic, physical therapy, orthotics, massage, you know, therapy. But not everybody in your practice has that bandwidth. So you might have an associate doctor that's still struggling to really recommend a strong chiropractic care plan versus add on to it with physical therapy and massage and orthotics and vitamins and, you know, all the other
stretching, things. Nutrition, all of it, the whole,
So for you entrepreneurs and doctor owners out there, you know, but before you take everything on and expect everybody to be as passionate about all those things and have the bandwidth to be able to educate and talk to people about it, there's a lot of training that goes into that. And, you know, in some ways, you're never going to be able to fully train everybody to have the belief system and all the different pieces. Yeah. You know, I mean, you might have a front desk person that doesn't understand, but just cannot wrap their head around why everybody should have orthotics in their shoes, you know?
Yeah.
And they're not going to get there. And so just knowing that it's not always possible, I think will help you understand why, you know, maybe results aren't as great as they could be, you know, if you had everybody fully on board with that. But
yeah. Well, and you also can't, you know, like I said, a lot of doctors get very, you know, passionate about the things that they're adding, and then they just kind of expect everybody else to have that same passion. You do need systems in place to make sure that everybody is marching in the same direction and has that same understanding of how this is being incorporated into the practice. And yeah, like I said, you know, scaling back to grow is a foreign concept to a lot of people, but that's where I see a lot of people saying, You know, and then I had somebody recently say to me, oh, you're going to kill me. I saw this used device and I got it because I really wanted to add this to my practice. I said, no. What I'm hearing from you is you saw something that you're passionate about that you've been wanting to do and you felt you couldn't afford it and you found a used device that gives you the opportunity to do it. Awesome. If you're going to be passionate about it,
right,
it's going to work.
Yeah.
So I do often have people make a list and say, what is it you enjoy every day in your practice? And what is it you don't enjoy? And that don't enjoy list is where we're going to start looking at, do you need this?
Yes.
What's it bringing for you?
Yeah.
And with the staff, another thing I see is people, because they've got all these things, they try to put together packages to incentivize people to do kind of all of it. No, not everything is for people, for everyone. I think that also kind of devalues each thing's individual. There's certainly areas where it makes sense, but there's also areas where you don't just put things together in a package because you have them all. You have to be really thoughtful about how you put it together and why.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, speaking from the practitioner standpoint, it's overwhelming. You will overwhelm a patient if you're explaining how crooked their spine is and that we need to go through a process to change that, and it's going to take X number of visits to be able to do that. And we got to deal with the, you know, the inflammatory portion of this. So you're going to have to do infrared therapy or red light therapy or something like that. We're going to have to do laser because of the muscle tone issues that you've got going on. We're going to be changing the overall rehab of your spine. So we're going to see the physical therapist for this, this, and this. And you need to have supplements that are going to address these 9 things, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden the patient is staring at you and they just go into like la la land because you've just completely overwhelmed them. And all they walked in the door with was a headache, you know, or, you know, and they, which is why going to CVS or Walgreens is so popular, because I can just grab some bottle of some goo off the shelf that's going to, you know, maybe make my headache go away. And they don't even want to know the underlying cause of the headache, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, we're getting more and more into a culture of hiding in a way, you know, people, you know, a year ago, I would tell people, you have to get this person on the phone as soon as possible and have a conversation with them. And now I'm seeing a lot of, you know, when you're doing your marketing and leads are coming in and they're texting with you, if you try and get them on the phone, they say, stop, you know, they want to stay on text.
Yes.
And so, overwhelm, you know, in a post-pandemic world, I would say anxiety is at the highest it's ever been, and overwhelm is very quick to occur. So yeah, you've got to build the rapport and slowly kind of get people to see where their wellness journey can take them, instead of just piling on and saying, here's all of it. What do you say? You know?
So let's, for the time that we have left here, I just want to foray a little bit into this area of adding avenues or revenue streams. I mean, and you're a person that, you know, with your partner built 18 clinics, you know, I mean, what?
15. We built 15. I've helped other people build 18, 20 more clinics, but he and I built 15.
So how do you decide, or how did you decide to add another one? Okay.
Yeah.
Which it's another revenue stream, right? It's a whole nother
yes.
clinic. And then how would you advise somebody who you're working with and advising to know when they should add another one?
Yes, absolutely. So it's interesting. Right now I have 2 clients that I'm working with who are, one just added a second location and the other's in the process of adding a second location. So there's a couple of ways. I'm glad you pointed that out. There's a lot of ways to add revenue streams. It doesn't mean adding new services. It can mean adding a new location. It can mean adding a new lead generation component.
Okay.
Right. So there's a lot of ways to add revenue streams that aren't necessarily adding a treatment or a protocol. But for a second location, number one, I want to make sure that that first location is doing well and has, you know, I like to say a minimum of 6 months of expenses available. I never want somebody to move forward with something that's a test. Like, for example, if you're moving forward with something, I want you to be able to comfortably do so without it making you financially stressed. I think that the number one reason I see people get into trouble is they've unfortunately, you know, hired somebody to consult them who said, oh, you only need like $10,000. No. We need to look at a real plan, look at what the expenses are going to be, and make sure you've got 6 months of that in the bank comfortable for marketing, you know, your lease, your phones, your technology, your for everything you're going to need, your staff. Let's make sure you've got that covered. And then also, when I know that they've mastered what they're doing and we've looked at where they want to move and what that area looks like, because what you're doing in one location might not replicate exactly in another area. So you also have to be thoughtful about the external environment of where your next location is going.
Right.
Does that make sense? A lot of people just think, oh, I can just do this here now. No. Right. Things are different.
And what? How do you advise people so that they don't think that they need to be working in that additional location, doing all the work? And for a lot of people, that's a little scary because they're going to be trusting other people to run things as they would.
Yes, actually, I would think from the practitioner standpoint, it's absolutely scary because, you know, in many ways, it's very true. People come and they build that rapport with you and you are the practice, right? Yeah. But we've also just talked about how front office staff can, you know, inhibit your practice. So just as somebody can inhibit your practice, somebody can help you grow your practice. So it's just hiring that person. You've got to really look at, do they have the same kind of passions as you? Do you see them having that same character as you? You know, not everybody has that same kind of rapport with patients. But I would also say, you know, I've seen people add 1, 2, 3 practitioners and they're all very different. And I think there's also value there, like a man bringing on a female chiropractor. There's some people that are going to be drawn to naturally drawn just because they just are. There's nothing about it. It just is. You know, the yin to your yang. There's value in bringing on somebody that isn't a replica of you, but you've got to share the same passions and the same thoughts on wellness journey. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to not work out in the long run.
Right. Yeah, right down to, and not just like chiropractors hiring other chiropractors, but, you know, having massage therapists that are as passionate about their craft as you are about yours.
And stretch therapy and all of those kind of other services that you can add that bring in a different element to the practice. The physical therapist, you've got to be on that same kind of mindset. Because you also can't build a practice if there's different philosophies within the practice.
That's tough.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's a hard one. And I think in the education process for chiropractors, I think philosophy is kind of squashed. You know, students are coming out of chiropractic school, just like medical doctors are coming out of medical school. Just thinking too linear and not as visionary, you know, how you really want to help people. I mean, there isn't a class in medical school, I think, on how to really help people, you know, or how you're going to go about doing that. So I mean, we need to have our eyes opened, you know, once we have the opportunity to be an entrepreneur and, you know, I think the medical profession doesn't have as many entrepreneurs, you know, percentage wise than chiropractors do. I mean,
yeah,
actually kind of crazy how like 95% of all chiropractors think that they need to like run their own business, right?
Whereas
it's probably only 5% of medical doctors that ever want to run their own business. But
well, I mean, some of that's built right into the education, right? I mean, so many of the chiropractic, you know, institutes kind of build in, this is how you market, this is how you, this is what you do, right? Yeah. I mean, you can speak to it better than me. I can only speak through it secondhand from clients and chiropractor friends, but.
So how do you, if you've got a medical doctor in front of you with a clinic or a chiropractor in front of you, and they say, you know, I would like to add more revenue streams, how do you coach them to do that or to not do that?
Yeah. Oh, and so to not do it, it's again, I just had a conversation with somebody who I talked out of. She really wanted to buy this thing. You know, this company came in and said, oh, look at what we've got. Da, 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 da. And I said, let me just take a beat, because she was ready. She was like, if I don't do this today, the price goes up. And I was like, okay, anytime somebody said that to you,
right?
I say flag. Immediately, proceed with caution. But you know, I looked at it and I just made sense of it. In other words, we looked at what would it cost? What would the monthly cost be? And what would it take to make that a positive revenue stream? And that's how I would approach any, like when I first start working with somebody, we build a pro forma and look at what the expenses are, you know, how many patients paying, what does it take to get you where you can comfortably be?
Yeah.
And that's how we look at everything. Okay. We're looking at adding, there's a practice right now, I'm helping add a revenue stream. And I'm like, okay, what does it look like to get this to where you want it to be, that it's bringing in the revenue that would make you feel really good about this? Cause we've got to pay off the device. And we've got to feel comfortable and confident that we can do that, enjoy treating people with it, and make the money we want to make from it, that makes it worth the marketing and the addition and the training and the time to train and all of those good things. Does that answer your question? I mean, it really is. You've got to look at the numbers. I know we hate to look at numbers, but it is, we've got to look at the numbers. We've got to build, you know, I use Excel, but we've got to build a mathematical equation that reviews and says, is this, what is the likelihood that this will work? And then we also need to look at what the external environment looks like around you.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I think too, you know, what is the mental cost, the emotional cost, the stress cost to add this, you know, is this going to take a bunch of your time that then is going to push you over the limit of like just your stress load? And I think there's a cost that people don't consider there. It's a little hard to quantify it with a number too. And if you're just having to do the QuickBooks for a business and you're seeing, you know, money go out and, you know, money come in and just, you know, having to keep up with that, it's still a cost.
Yeah.
You know,
it absolutely is. And hours, you know, that's absolutely, you know, first of all, one of the other conversations I have is I am absolutely have a perfectionist in me that I've had to learn as an entrepreneur. Good can be good enough. Perfection doesn't exist. And delegation is essential. You cannot grow and do it all yourself. You can't. The capacity isn't there. So growing absolutely means being comfortable bringing people on, but you also do have to be comfortable knowing that you're going to be retraining other people. So you've got to get comfortable training people to take on roles, and you got to be comfortable delegating and know that they're not going to do it exactly as you would. And that's okay.
That's all right.
That's okay. That's all right.
Yeah.
And also you can't just let it go. I do see practices make the mistake of just saying, oh, they're doing it. Okay, no. You've got to get together at minimum every week and talk about what's going well, what's not going well, how can we do better? You can't just totally let it go. But but you can offload to the point that you are not absorbing all of the time and energy and stress.
Yeah. You know, as you say that, I look, and for those of you that are listening to this, you're not seeing the video, but behind me on the wall is a picture of Superman.
And I saw it right away.
What you're talking about, Jessica, is called, in my world, it's called the Superman complex. Thinking that you have to be Superman, put on the cape, and be able to do it all. And you just described perfectly that you need to avoid that. In fact, even Superman had the Department of, what was it? The League of Justice.
That's right.
And he had that whole group, you know, included Wonder Woman and Aquaman and all these other people, you know. So, yeah, you can't do it all yourself.
No.
I think that's a great spot that we can wrap for today. Jessica, this has been great. I know you're going to be poking a few people in the right spots, and the right people are going to be listening and learning from you. If people want a way to reach out to you, how would they do that? And what would be the perfect person to connect with you?
So anybody who is getting ready to take the leap into the world of starting your own practice, or somebody who's got their own practice and looking for how can I take this to the next level? And certainly anybody who has their own practice who's struggling, it's not turning out to be the way they want it to be, and they need somebody to help them kind of look under the hood and say, okay, here's what we can do to make this the business that you hoped and dreamed of. So
how would they reach out to you?
So I would say you can email me, Jessica, at buildyourcashmedicalpractice.com. You can go to my website, and I have a scheduling link there. So that we can schedule a one-on-one, and I can just spend some time with you and give you some nuggets to take away. I can promise you with a one-to-one call, and then you can see if we're fit to work together. And I do have a group program that I just started that's available. You can sign up on my website, because I do recognize that not everybody needs the one-on-one white glove service, but many people can benefit from the time growing their business in a group setting and getting to know their peers.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you for your time. Speaking of time, I've been blessed by it. I've learned. I love doing these podcasts because I always learn something. And I feel like a better person for having spent the last 45 minutes with you. So thank you.
Same here. I'm honored to be here. And I hope we stay in touch. I look forward to more time with you.
Yeah. God bless you. Okay, everybody. So you've got some nuggets. They were put on a plate for you. There they are. If you need to re-listen to this, re-listen to it. If you need to share this episode with a few people that you know could use this information, please share this information. Okay. I mean, it's free to share things. And also, if you love the information, please go to where you get your podcasts and rate us, you know, give us a rating too. That helps so that other people find the podcast and can get this information and help change their lives. So appreciate Jessica for joining us today, and stay hungry, my friends. And as always, pay it forward.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I'm Rachel, the marketing director of Big Fish Enterprises. If you or a colleague are interested in learning the secret sauce to getting a high volume of quality new patients fast, our program, Team Doc, could be the perfect fit for you. Learn more about Team Doc and coaching with Dr. Jeff by visiting www.mybigfishenterprises.com. We'll see you next week.